Today is Mother's Day, a joyful day, a day of appreciation, a day of warmth and love. Happy Mother's Day. And today is also a mixed holiday for some. We don't all fit the hallmark definition of mothering or motherhood. And so not everyone feels included. Sometimes a family has two moms or two dads or one mom and no dads or one dad and no moms or one mom and a stepdad, a dad and a stepdad, an uncle or a grandma is taking care of the child. There are so many different forms in which families come. Sometimes a daughter decides he's a son. Sometimes a son decides she's a daughter. Sometimes our own upbringing did not exactly fit what we thought it would be or what we wished for. Or maybe we can't be with our mom today for whatever reason. Life and motherhood is not exactly like Hallmark cards. It's a mix. It's a patchwork. Different parts coming together, joys and sadness, fun and hard things, appreciation and regret, things we expected, things we did not expect, so many pieces all together. Like a quilt. As I was thinking about Mother's Day and our theme of creativity this month, I kept thinking about the ancient art of quilting, of taking bits and pieces of well-used, lived-in material and fashioning them into something wonderful. An ancient art that has traditionally been the realm of mothers and grandmothers. I was talking with a few folks about that the other day, and one person talked about the quilt his mother had created for him upon graduation day, including not just what he loved, including not just pieces of his favorite t-shirts growing up, but also pieces of clothes from times in his life that were hard. Which is, I think, part of what mothering can be. Stitching the pieces together, the good and the hard, patiently, with needle and thread, lovingly, remembering where that cloth came from, imbuing it with love, envisioning what it can become, and creating something warm, colorful, and new. And today, this service on Mother's Day and on creativity is itself a kind of a quilt. Five different congregation members have stepped up to share something about what it has meant to them to have a mother or be a mother. These stories are stitched together here into a service in which we honor mothers, in which we honor life in all its complexity, both good and hard. Stories that together create something wonderful and colorful and new. First, we begin, though, with a child's dedication, a blessing of creation in which mothers play a very key role. So I'd like to ask Vienna Hevenor and Duke and Maximian Delbonis and your parents to please come forward for this morning's child dedication. Yeah, yeah, exactly. This is it. All right. So, hi. So the act of dedicating or welcoming a child has different meanings in different traditions. In our UU tradition, it is adults who dedicate ourselves to the welfare of the child and, by extension, the welfare of all children. Vienna, I feel like we want you to come here so I can see you. Ah, here we go. All right, my dear. In that spirit, each of these young people and their parents asked that they be formally welcomed into this religious community. So I'd like to begin by addressing the parents of these children. And maybe if Linda and Sean, if you want to just stand for this part, that would be great. So by asking for this dedication, you invite this congregation to share some of the joy and responsibility that is yours as parents. As you seek our support in the task of fostering with love and guidance the fullest unfolding of your child's personality and gifts, we thank you for giving us the opportunity today to say a joyful yes to that opportunity. The raising of children is the most important job in our society and for our future. You have already nurtured these children since they were first welcomed into your families. Do you promise that to the best of your abilities, you will continue to help your children love themselves and others, to gain an appreciation of truth and beauty, and to achieve a deepening understanding of how to live a life of good character with joy and compassion? If you agree, please say, "We do." Thank you. You may be seated. Now I'd like to address the whole congregation. In our complex world, it is not possible for even the most loving and capable parents to raise a child alone. If our children are to become loving and independent adults, we need the wisdom and counsel and love and support of many adults in their lives. If you, the members and friends of Westminster, agree that you would like to support and care for these young people and their families, please join me in saying our promise, which is printed in your order of service. We'll say that together in unison. We welcome each of you into this congregation. We pledge ourselves to nurture by making our community a place where you may grow in knowledge, spirit, and peace. We wish for you joy and courage, passion and happiness as you live your life. We will delight in your accomplishments, share in your sorrows, and encourage you in every way we can as you grow into adulthood. So every rose is unique, as is each person. And water here is an essential element of life, connecting all of humanity and all living things. And this water right here in particular includes water from our water communion ceremony at the beginning of the year, symbolizing the love and spirit of this whole community. So we welcome each of you into this community with the gift of a rose, a symbol of your individuality and the unfolding of your life as you grow. The rose has had its thorns removed, as it is our responsibility as adults to create a world safe for future generations, and has been dipped in water to represent the essential connection with us and all humanity. So we will begin with Vienna Hevenor. So if, let's see, I'll step forward, you step forward, touching you with this rose. I'm going to touch your forehead. I bless you, Vienna, and I affirm you into this community of caring and love. All right. Ready, Maximian? Yeah? All right. I affirm you, Maximian Del Bonus, and I welcome you into this community of caring and love. All right. You're welcome. All right, Duke. I bless you with this rose, and I welcome you into this community of caring and love. You're welcome. So, Maximian, Duke, and Vienna, May the blessings of strength and integrity of purpose and understanding heart of love received and given be yours and remain with you as you go forward to richness and fulfillment in your lives. And may this act of dedication work its miracle in all our hearts, that we may always be worthy of the promises that we have made this morning. May it be so. Amen. Amen. All right. You may be seated. Bye-bye. I love these. These are one of the really powerful things we get to do, is offer that blessing to our young people. So, motherhood. Daisy Basson, who joined our congregation last year with her husband Doug and her three children Emmett, Roz, and Cora, will offer our first reflection this morning, sharing something of her experience of being a mother as she experiences it, particularly in the middle of the night.
Good morning. I'm actually going to give you a bonus because Roz wrote a poem that she memorized and she wanted to share. Okay, so it's not long, but I think it's worthwhile to hear.
My mother is a poet, but so am I. We write together side by side. Her writing is better, but I don't mind because my mother is a poet and so am I.
Relief. I was already a doctor when I became a mother, and I thought that meant I understood nighttime. I was familiar with staying up, seeing patients, and waking up when patients or their nurses called me to help get them something to sleep. I figured it was enough preparation. I learned right away that night is a different place when you are a mother. I say place and not time because that's how it felt and how it feels. Night is a world with its own topography, its own rhythms. Waking up to a baby's cry is not like any other alarm. It's a call back to alertness when you haven't been very far away, arm's length and just asleep enough to call it sleep. That kind of sleep never seems to leave you. I can still wake in the night, not because a baby is crying, but because there is a person standing right beside my bed, asking to be let in or for me to get up and help. My father calls it mother's ears, a particular ability to hear your child's cry, even when there may not be one. There were plenty of cries over the years helping me to acquire that skill. There were the ordinary cries of hungry babies, usually impatient, as if they'd been politely asking for hours instead of uttering one insistent shriek. Emmett. There were the nights when a certain small person wanted company to be carried through the hallways that were short enough in the day, but which seemed endless when it was dark. I have never been so interesting to somebody else, while feeling so entirely uninteresting myself, more brainless than a zombie, more boring than an infomercial. It didn't matter. At night, I was a celebrity. There have been all sorts of nightmares, mercifully few with clowns, most easily brushed away with my hand stroking a pajamaed back or my voice singing the bedtime song. Usually that was autumn leaves, again, hours after it was first effective. And sometimes, even now, I'm still woken by the cries of a sick child. I remember a night spent sitting up with a sniffling, coughing baby who would not settle unless she was being held. In the morning, I felt like I ought to be receiving a merit badge of motherhood, but instead, I got a cup of tea I ended up drinking as it cooled. There have been nosebleeds and fevers and the dreaded GI bug, nights when I'm equally grateful for my husband and my Kenmore washer and dryer, and how I am when I get woken up, ready to listen, to assess, to act, willing to put aside my own desire for an unbroken night the way I might not be during the day. I'm a different mother in the world of night, a different self I'm glad to meet, to know I'm capable of being. I don't worry about being able to fall back to sleep. That's the easiest part. And I don't worry that I won't be able to wake up the next time I'm needed, the next time there's somebody standing right beside my bed, patting my shoulder, saying, "Mommy?"
Thank you, Daisy. And thank you, Roz. You are a poet. Let Let us join together for our song and response, number 123 in your larger hymnal, Spirit of Life. Please remain seated for this hymn. Amy Abel and Jerry Tisser have also accepted the invitation to share this morning on what it is to be a mother, as well as what it can be to be mothered. We begin with Amy Abel.
Jerry, it'll be all set for you. My mother's name was Doris Breton Abel, and I am ashamed to admit for the first 25 years of my life, I did not respect her choices, and I disliked the way we lived. This is not to say I didn't love my mother or recognize the sweet person that she was. Our relationship was not combative, but my mother was not my role model, but rather the polar opposite of the woman I hoped to become. I never truly appreciated her until planning my own wedding. And then I discovered an amazing parent I was blessed with. I had decided not to get married in the church I had always attended. The faith tradition I was raised no longer matched my beliefs. My mother was gracious about my decision. She said, "I do not want you to do anything that makes you uncomfortable." What a tremendous gift, the validation of my decision. This may not seem like a big deal today, 30 years later in our UU church, but let's contrast my mother's reaction to another mother of the bride. The year before, I was a bridesmaid to my girlfriend. Her mother was very upset. There had been a huge family fight, all because the bride was getting married in the church across town. Same denomination, mind you. Just not the neighborhood church. But that was the thinking of our community. And looking back at my elementary school years, I would have told you I went to a very diverse public school. After all, on Wednesday afternoons, the religious education class, a third went to Holy Trinity, a third went to Sacred Heart, and a third went to St. Joseph, St. Patrick. I think you get the idea. These were three different Catholic churches. And there was even one girl who didn't leave on Wednesdays. There was rumors she was Protestant. But back to the planning of my wedding. We had a meeting with a wedding vendor. We were sharing stories about overbearing mothers. We call these in the business the mob. The mother of the bride. My quiet, non-assertive mother joins the conversation for the first time after an hour. She says, I hope I raised a daughter who thought for herself. I hope I raised a daughter who thought for herself. Now let me tell you, I almost fell out of my chair. In my arrogance and ignorance, I had never credited her with this parenting approach, this incredible gift. And over the past 20 years of my own child's life, I have heard my mother's words. They have echoed in my head many times. From the simple moments when I was arguing with a three years old, I was told that the purple skirt did not go with the purple sweater. It's the wrong shade, Mommy. 3 years old. And luckily I stopped myself before I yelled, "You know, I do have an art degree." But that seems so, so long ago, and the issues so simple. For now, life has even more shades of the rainbow, and the desire and the need to honor my independent child involves me letting go in ways I never dreamt. I named my child Lily, the name that would honor three generations of women in my family. Now, my transgender adult child, Lee, calls Lily their dead name. The phrase dead name is the term the transgender community uses to describe their former identity, the name that never fit their authentic self. I have supported and encouraged the difficult journey my very wonderful child has taken. But there is a dichotomy in my feelings when I hear that term, dead name. That language tethers me to a painful spot in my heart, a place of grief for the child of my past expectations. But we must all remember, if we do not cut the chains of expectations, we will fail to recognize the blessings before us and the incredible, unique people in our life today. And thus is the colorful complexity of the parenting path to honor the paths while navigating the unexpected, evolving future.
Good morning, I'm Jerry Tisser. I grew up in Brookline, Massachusetts, which was a fairly wealthy suburb of Boston. And I think alone among my friends, I had the only mother that worked for a living. She was actually the primary breadwinner in my house. She was a bookkeeper, my dad was a cab driver. None of my other friends' mothers worked. So she was a little bit of an outlier. Also a very early woman libber, a great lover of nature, a different type of mom than you typically found in the 60s. So this is, and you should know Daisy, she was not a great piano player by any stretch, but the song that she played very well was Autumn Leaves. So this is a Mother's Day remembrance to my mother, Sarita, who passed away at age 72 in 1996. I'm 3 years old, or 5 years old, maybe 7 years old, most likely all three. And I'm doing what I do most every morning. Climb out of my bed in my tiny bedroom that measures only 10 feet by 6 feet, and walk across the hallway to my parents' room. I climb into bed with my mom, and she cuddles me for 3 minutes, or 10 minutes, or 20 minutes. We call it schmuggling. Probably a Yiddish phrase, and I do it automatically without realizing at that age how powerful a gesture it is. As an adult, I learned that many children never receive this type of physical affection from their mother, I realized how lucky I was. My mother was an only child whose father died when she was only 17, so maybe she needed an outlet to express that loss of parental love. Maybe to make sure that I got mine while she was still around. I remember this as well. I'm sitting in our kitchen, and from the living room on the other side of our fairly small apartment, my mother begins a nightly ritual. Yosh, that's my Yiddish name, Yosh. What? I always respond. I love you, she says. Okay, I reply. For the 10 zillionth time. Not a deep conversation, only 6 words, but it gets the point across efficiently. And of course, I remember the overused but never underappreciated litany she would recite while stroking my neck or rubbing my back. I love you high as the sky, wide as the world, and deep as the ocean. That's how much I love you, and I always will. I never tired of hearing it, nor she of saying it to me. It was so long ago, but today I realize just how foundational and stabilizing this endless wave after wave of physical and verbal affection I received from her was. Whew. You shouldn't be surprised that I'm affectionate with all of my 3 boys, or that I tell them every chance I get that I love them. My mother taught me well how important it is to let people know, and to keep telling them.
Thank you, Jerry. Here at Westminster, we share offerings of cash placed in the basket 50-50 with a different organization each month that shares our values or our mission. This month, that organization is our sharing locker. And it's one way we are able to serve the community beyond our walls. We serve with our actions when we volunteer, and we have an opportunity to serve with our resources today. Sharing Locker is Westminster's non-food distribution initiative, whose primary goal is to assist people in meeting their basic needs for living, increase their quality of life, and fill the gap for those who are struggling. The other half of the offering goes to support this congregation and all its works. The offering will now be given and received with gratitude. conclude our reflections this morning with Sarah Quick and her daughter, Rachel, who have generously agreed to share this morning as well.
When eight-legged creatures walk into the house, Mom always soothes me and gets them out. When the cold night winds blow, she brings me into my warm bed and keeps me away from the cold. When she says not to talk to strangers or people that are dangerous, she's protecting me from all possible harm. She tells me what is right and what is wrong, and to always be kind to people who bug me and people who are kind. She teaches me to be a whiz in the kitchen. But she's also a fun mom. We play outside together and color and draw. We watch TV together like most mothers and daughters. Or to say it another way, I'm glad I have an awesome mom.
So when I was thinking about how it would capture my experience of motherhood, for some reason my head kept going back to the book, Oh, the Places You'll Go by Dr. Seuss. And I thought, there needs to be a new version for moms. Oh, the things you don't know. I think it would go something like this. You're a mom now. You're off and away to worry and second guess every day. Cloth or disposable, bottle or breast. Comfort or cry it out? Should you work out or rest? City or country? Stay home or work? Whatever you choose, there's someone online who will make you feel like a jerk. Then you'll look into that face with so much love in it, and you'll know in your heart it was worth every minute. Except when you don't, because often they won't. She started it. Everyone else has Snapchat. They'll sit at the table and say, I am not eating that. They'll ply you with guilt when work takes you away and ask when you're home, what do you do all day? They'll kick and they'll fight and they'll scream at full throttle until you're drinking Merlot straight out of the bottle. Oh, gentle listener, don't look so sad. Most of the time, your heart will be glad. You've made people who weren't here before. They're unique and amazing and never a bore. They'll bring you their worries and they'll bring you their joys. And you'll have laughter and cuddles and play with cool toys. You'll share in their triumphs as well as their lows. You'll cheer on their victories and soften their blows. You'll discover what works for one may not work for the other. And you'll call your mom and say, thanks for putting up with me and my brother. And those questions and choices, you'll figure out what to do. And you'll find the answers that are just right for you. You'll make some mistakes, more than a few. Then you'll dust yourself off and try something new. You'll love them and guide them and teach them what's right. And then they'll spread their wings and begin to take flight. It's an experience I would trade for no other, for there is nothing in the world quite like being a mother.
so much heart in what was shared this morning. I'd like to close by sharing this prayer of thanks by Reverend Leah Hart Landsberg, affirming all mothers and the complexity of motherhood adapted for us here today. On Mother's Day, let us mark how beautiful and complicated it can be to be a mother or be mothered. To those who have mothered, we thank you. To those who rejoice in the work, the role, the presence of mothering and mothers, we celebrate with you. To those who are in the thick of parenting children of any age, we appreciate you. To those who are experiencing loss through infertility, miscarriage, abortion, or running away, we mourn with you. To those who have lost their mothers, we grieve with you. To those who have experienced any pain or experience pain at the marking of this day, we witness you. To those who are single moms, grandmoms, stepmoms, foster moms, adoptive moms, mentor moms, and spiritual moms, we need you. And to those who are pregnant with new life, both expected and surprising, we anticipate with you. May we reflect with gratitude on the wide spectrum of mothering that happens in our lives and in our communities, and the creativity that lives in that and among us all. May it be so. And let us join together for our closing hymn, number 23, and we'll sing verses 1 through 3 and 6. Please rise in body or in spirit. I invite you to join hands, if you like, for our closing words and closing song. Go in peace, embraced by the light and warmth of our gathering. Go in hope, ready again to struggle on in the everyday. Go in joy, knowing that each of us is mother, father, co-creator of the beauty of our world. May it be so. Go in peace.